Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. When God speaks, things change. Everything around you, all of creation exists because God spoke it into existence. God's word is unlike any other word. It is alive. And in John 6, Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." So they're not mere words. They are alive. God's word generates life. In fact, let me just give you a list of the things that God's word does. God's word generates life. It creates faith. It produces change. It frightens the devil. It causes miracles. It heals hurts, and it builds character. God's word transforms circumstances. It imparts joy. It overcomes adversity. It defeats temptation. It infuses hope. God's word releases power. It cleanses our mind. It brings things into being, and it guarantees our future forever. You see, we cannot live without the word of God, so never take it for granted. You should consider God's word as essential to your life as food. You see, the Bible tells us God's word is the spiritual nourishment you must have to fulfill your purpose. So let's start the feast and let's look into God's word today for our daily hope.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, we continue in our series called 40 Days of Love. This is part two of a message called Loving Like Jesus Loves Me, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the life-giving study DVD and study kit for this series. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. And now here's Rick with today's message.
One day Jesus is walking down the street and some religious leaders who are trying to trap Jesus, they caught this woman in the act of adultery. It's interesting they didn't catch the guy. Usually it seems like there's two. Maybe it was different a 2,000 years ago, but it usually takes two. But it says they caught the woman in the act of adultery. And they bring her before Jesus and they throw her down before Jesus. And this woman was caught cheating on her husband. What are you going to do about Jesus? And you know this famous story. Jesus looks at all of the accusers and he says, "Okay, all right. Anybody who has never sinned, you get to throw the first stone." And of course, they all start going away. Now, what is Jesus doing here? He's giving acceptance, not approval. He didn't approve what she was doing. But the first thing Jesus did is he defended her dignity. He said, "I'm not going to let anybody treat a woman like that. I don't care what she's done." And he says, "Okay, anybody you who've done it, get it. You get the," and they all leave. He defends her dignity. Which, by the way, when you come to Jesus Christ and you got messed up in your life, you got sins and faults and failures and mistakes, he's not going to go, "See, I told you so." He's going to defend your dignity. He accepts you. And then in the private one-on-one moment after everybody's gone, in a personal moment with Jesus, he looks at this woman and he says, "Where are your attackers?" And she says, "They're all gone, Lord." He says, "Well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." That's it? That's all he's going to say? He says, "I don't condemn you either, just don't do it anymore." I mean, if it had been me, I'd pull out my 8-point sermon on adultery. Let me tell you why you're evil, wicked, mean, bad, and nasty. You shouldn't do this. It hurt you, it hurt him, it hurt them, it hurt your kids. Now, let me tell you all the reasons. You know what I've discovered? You don't have to make people feel guilty. That's why we don't waste any time here at Saddleback trying to make people feel guilty. Why? Because we already do. I don't measure up to my own standards, much less God's, and so I don't need anybody. If I've had 15 wrecks in a car, I don't wake up on Sunday morning and go, "Hey, honey, let's drive up to Santa Ana Courthouse and let the judge tell us what bad drivers we are." No, that doesn't do any good. I want somebody to teach me how to be a better driver. I want somebody to save me from myself. So when you come to Jesus with all your sins and your mistakes and your faults and your failures, he doesn't go, "Yeah, you're right." No, he defends your dignity. And then he says, "Hey, you know better than that. You're better than that. Don't do that anymore." That's it. He doesn't go in and say, pound you into the ground. And so Jesus, he didn't approve of what she'd been doing, but he did accept her. And that's what you need to do with other people around you. You don't have to go around approving of everything everybody does. I don't even approve of everything I do. But you do have to accept them, because that is a mark of love. And the Bible says that God chose to accept us. He chose to accept us. And he made us acceptable to God. Now, being chosen is a great thrill. It really does a lot for your self-esteem. If you remember when you were a kid, the last thing you wanted to do is be the last person chosen on a team. When they were picking up size, you go, oh, God, please don't let me be the last person chosen. You know. And if you were one of the few fortunate that got chosen first on a team, you're going, I'm pretty hot stuff. I got chosen first. You see, I have a pretty good self-confidence. I'm a pretty good confident person. You know why? Because I was chosen by Kay Warren. Out of all the men on the earth, she chose me. Too bad for you guys. But Kay Warren chose me. And that makes my spirit soar. She looks at me and goes, that guy is a hunk of burning love. Okay? And that makes my confidence soar. And when God chooses you, it makes your confidence soar. You go, wait a minute, God chose me? Yeah. God says, I accept you. I love you. I created you. I sent Jesus to die for you. I chose you. I put my spirit in you. You matter to me. So it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I mean, as I've said many times, if God likes me and I like me, you don't like me, what's your problem? That's where confidence comes from, not by listening to the approval of other people, but by listening to what God says about you.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But right now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
Jesus said that of all the commandments in the Bible, two are most important. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. When you do this, you end up obeying the rest of God's commandments, and all the relationships in your life, even the difficult ones, get so much better. To help you do this, Pastor Rick wants to send you the 40 Days of Love Study Kit, which includes a 6-session DVD and a study guide. In this video series, Rick teaches you how to make loving God and loving others the central focus in your life. He shares practical, Christ-centered advice on how to authentically love God and love your neighbor as a normal way of life. When you learn to focus on the spiritual principles of patience, kindness, truth, and forgiveness, love will become your dominant life value. Please let us send you the 40 Days of Love Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle.com.
Once again, here's Rick.
What God does for you, he expects you to do for other people. God says, I accept you unconditionally. I don't approve of everything you do, but I accept you unconditionally and I love you. And God says, I want you to do that with everybody in your life. Look at this next verse. Romans 15:7, read it with me. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. He said, you are to do for other people what I have done for you. Now, how do you do that? Well, one of the ways you can show acceptance to other people is to listen to them. And another way you can show it is to look at them. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, that the highest form of love is focused attention. When I look you in the face, eye to eye, and I'm saying, you matter to me. You are valuable to me. It's like a little child saying, look at me in the face, Daddy. When you give your attention, love looks and love listens. When somebody comes in and drops up off your desk and you don't pay any attention to it, or when somebody serves you something at a fast food or something, or the waitress comes and delivers it, and you don't look up in the eye and say thank you, you are saying you don't value them. You're saying, I don't value you. You're not important to me. No, what you're saying, when you look them in the eye and you listen, then you're paying attention. You are accepting them. Notice this next verse. The Bible says in Romans 15, 2, we must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and the fears of others. Now, everybody's got doubts and everybody's got fears. I do, you do. I don't know if you notice this, but I've noticed that my fears are perfectly rational and reasonable, and yours are totally stupid. When you're afraid of someone, go, well, how could you be afraid of that? Now, my fears, they make a whole lot of sense, but yours are stupid. That means I don't accept you. Husband, when your wife is afraid of something, you shouldn't go, well, that's dumb. That means you don't accept her. Or when your kids are afraid of something and you don't value that and you don't treat them with value, oh, you shouldn't be afraid of that. It means you don't accept them. Acceptance says, I listen to the fears and the doubts of others. I've got doubts. You've got doubts. Somebody has doubts, say, well, I doubt God exists. I have doubts about Jesus. I have doubts about the Bible. Fine, this is the church you ought to be in. This is a place for people with doubts. Because we treat you here with respect and with love, because everybody's got doubts. I got a lot of questions. When I get to heaven, I'm going to go, God, why did you do that? If I was God, I wouldn't have done that. Aren't you glad I'm not God? And what you need to do is just say, okay, fine, we all got doubts. Well, I want to put up a sign to Saddleback Church that says, no perfect people need apply. Please go to another church, because, you know, we don't, everybody has fears and doubts. And acceptance means we accept each other's fears and we accept each other's doubts. Now, during 40 days of love, we're going to work on this stuff together. I told you, we're going to teach you the habits of the hearts and the skills for genuine loving. So what I want you to do is pull out this little flap and tear it off. You're not going to turn this in, but I want you to pull it out and tear it off. And here's our little homework for week number 2, practicing love. If you'll notice on one side of the flap, down at the bottom, it says practicing love, homework for week 2. And the first sentence says, this week, I will show acceptance to. And I want you to write in the name of somebody specific. Somebody who really irritates you. Don't look at them. Or is hard to love. Don't elbow them. In fact, don't write down the name of anybody on your row, just in case they happen to see it. Okay? Don't write down a family member. We want to work. Yeah, you can work on that on somebody in your family too, but that doesn't count. I want you to choose somebody that you have a hard time accepting. You know that person at work who just irritates you? They're heavenly sandpaper. You know, nobody likes them. Everybody's irritated by them. People talk about them behind their back. They make fun of them behind their back. Nobody wants to go to lunch with them. They're so cantankerous and irritable. You know who I'm talking about. These are EGR people, extra grace required. Okay? And everybody knows who they are in the office. In fact, if you don't know instantly who I'm talking about right now, I'm sorry, it's you. Okay? Okay? So you need to love yourself. But if you know who that person is, write that person's name down. The most unlovely person you know. The most unlovely people are unloved people. They need doses of love. And this week, when we work on love, I want you to show acceptance to somebody who really irritates you or is hard to love. And when you start thinking about, Lord, I don't want to love that person, you start thinking about how much God loves you. Loving like Jesus means I got to accept other people the way Jesus accepts me. Number 2, loving like Jesus means I must value other people. Value others the way Jesus values me. Now, how valuable are you? I'm not talking about your valuables. How much are you worth? Well, maybe not as much after this week's stock market. I'm not talking about your net worth. I'm talking about your self-worth. How much are you worth? Let me tell you how worthwhile you are. You are infinitely valuable to God. First, God created you. Second, Jesus died for you. Third, he puts his spirit within you. And fourth, he wants you to be with him forever and eternity. That's how valuable you are to God. You are infinitely valuable to God. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12. Are not five sparrows sold for two small coins? In other words, they're not very valuable. Yet, he says, not one of them has escaped the notice of God. He said, God even notices little birdies. God even notices cockroaches. God notices everything, because everything he made, he values. And then he says this, even the hairs on your head, including the one that fell out in the sink this morning, have all been counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth far more than many sparrows. He said, if God thinks sparrows are valuable, how much more valuable are you? Because he sent his son to die for you. I love this verse in the Message paraphrase. It says this up here on the screen. God pays even greater attention to you down to the last detail. Did you know God pays attention to every detail in your life? You know, I got a little wart here. God noticed. Down to the last detail, even numbering the hairs on your head. So don't be intimidated by all this bully talk. You're worth more than a million canaries. Now, what makes something valuable? Well, there are two things that make something valuable. The first is who made it. Value depends on who made it. What is more valuable? A Fabergé Easter egg or my Easter eggs? The ones that I color with my grandkids. Nothing. There's no comparison. What's more value, a Picasso or a drawing by Doug Fields? That's, you know, I don't even have to tell you. You just laughed at that. You know automatically. Sometimes something that is created by somebody, because it's who created it, makes it valuable. Now, I don't normally collect barf bags, but I have a barf bag in my collection, an airline barf bag, because it's signed by John Wooden, the most winning coach of UCLA basketball. Now, it's not because it's valuable, it's because who made it, who created it, made it valuable. And a well-known creator can increase the value of a common thing. So who created you? God did. God created you. Well, what does that mean? It means you're valuable. Look at this verse up here on the screen. Everything God created is good. Everything God created is good. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you're good. Yeah, okay, okay, okay. Now say to them, you're really good. You're really, really good. We just had a dozen wedding proposals just then. Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving. God doesn't create junk. God created you. You're not junk. You are good. You're really good because God created you. In fact, look at this verse up here on the screen. It's on your outline too. For we are God's workmanship. That word in Greek, workmanship, literally means masterpiece. It's poem. I'm a poem of God. I'm a piece of art. You are God's masterpiece. That's what the Bible says about you. I didn't say that. I don't think you're a masterpiece. But God does. We are God's masterpiece, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, before you were born, God planned out what he wanted you to do with your life. And he said, you're my masterpiece, and you're exactly what God wants you to be. So value depends on who made you. God made you. Second, value depends on what someone will pay. How much is your house worth? Not as much as you think it is. It's worth whatever anybody will pay for it. I have a baseball card collection. How much are those cards worth? Not what I think they're worth. They're worth what anybody's willing to pay for it. It's whatever somebody's willing. How much is a piece of art worth? It's only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. I heard about a recent oil sheik in the Middle East. His daughter was kidnapped. And they took out an ad in the paper that said, "We will pay any price. She's the king's daughter." You are a child of the king. And Christ gave his life for you. In fact, look at what the next verse says. 1 Peter says, "He paid," that's God, "paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." How much are you worth? Look at the cross. Jesus said, "I'm willing to die for you." You are so worthwhile, God says, "I will pay the ultimate price. I'm willing to give my son for you." That's how valuable you are. You want to know how much you matter to God? You look at the cross. And Jesus, who had been whipped and beaten and tortured and scourged and nailed to the cross, and with arms outstretched, he's saying, "I love you this much. This is how much you matter to me. This much, this much, this much is how much you matter to me. I love you this much." And the cross proves your value. Now, let me just get real pointed here. The people who told you growing up that you didn't matter, that you were worthless, that you'd never amount to anything, were liars. They lied to you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. That's PastorRick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought. But just before that, let me ask you, is it possible to love the people in your life any more than you already do? Pastor Rick says it is. But it's not about trying harder or willing yourself to love more. It's about discovering what God says about love in His Word. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Jesus says that the two most important things you can do while you're here on earth are to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, life is all about love. Now, as believers, it's not just enough to talk about love or to read about love or to discuss love. We must show it. We must exhibit it by the way we treat other people. Now, the Bible says that we do this. We learn to be genuinely loving people by relying on the love that God has for us. That's why I've put together a 6-session study kit called 40 Days of Love. It includes a study guide and a 6-session DVD that will teach you the habits of a loving heart. Now, you can go through it by yourself, but really, how are you going to learn to love by yourself? You need to do it in a small group with 2 or 3 friends or even more. Just get some friends and some neighbors and say, "Let's learn how to really love. And let's study this together for 40 days. Now, 40 Days of Love is going to teach you why love matters most, more than anything else. And it's going to teach you what the Bible means when it says that love is patient and love is kind and love speaks the truth. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That love is forgiving. Now, I want to tell you something. This is a life-changing study. It changed my life when I did it. And it's going to change your life and those that you share it with. And if you really want to grow spiritually, you've got to learn how to love. Now, this month, we're offering the 40 Days of Love Study Kit for a financial gift to Daily Hope Ministries. I want everybody to be able to enjoy this study, so all I ask is that you help support Daily Hope Ministries. Now, I know some of you can afford a little bit more than others, and I appreciate that. It helps us keep on the air and helps us spread the message to other stations. But some of you, you're going through tough times and you don't have a whole lot. That's okay. I know you work hard for what you earn. I promise that whatever you give, no matter how large or small, that every cent that you send in to support Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. I do this ministry for free. I take no money from it. And so you can be certain that any gift you give is helping spread the hope we have in Christ here at home and even all around the world. Now, thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004, or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.